Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Ryan Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Time for Jags Drive Time live from Everbank Field. I guess it's Everbank Field for another 2 weeks, and then we'll transition to TIAA Bank Field, which would become a completely different thing to say. Not sure how easy that's going to be, but we will get used to it. Welcome in. Brian Sexton with you this morning, along with John Osier and Ashlyn Sullivan. We have a big show for you. We are live on Twitter. We'll take your comments on Facebook. And, of course, you can join us for the entire half hour of this program simply by tuning in on TuneIn Radio. Good morning, John. Good morning, Ashlyn.
You're a social media butterfly this morning, aren't you? Twitter, Facebook, Periscope, Snapchat.
The Snapchat thing.
Chat time.
I don't know how to use the Snapchat.
I don't.
Do you?
I can barely get on Facebook.
The Twitter works. The Facebook's getting there. We're doing our best. We have a Twitter poll, by the way. You social media guy that you are.
I am.
You'll appreciate. Last week we tried this poll thing. Just, you know, kind of random, like, let's do it.
That's when I fixed Ashlyn's computer.
You did not fix my computer.
Right.
I thought he did.
He tried to help. It didn't help.
Anyway. So we grabbed Darnell over in social, and Patrick, we all kind of put the whole thing together, and we had, how many people do you think we had vote?
Oh, at least eight.
At least. You're right. We had at least eight. What do you think?
Including us three.
Yeah. Right.
So five.
More than 2,500. Almost 2,600 people voted. Yeah, for the very first time that we did the poll. So we're doing the poll thing again. You want to give us the question? What's today's question, Ashlyn?
Today's question. Let's look at it. Which position group has the most questions as OTAs begin? Your options, offensive line, linebackers, tight ends, or running backs?
Right. So the Jaguars got through rookie minicamp, added a couple of players. We'll talk about all of that. So as you look at it, what do you think? Which of those position groups strikes you as a place the Jaguars still have work to do? It may be all of them. That may be option five, although we can't have five options. Right. So we decided to go with which one do you think needs the most attention still? Don't answer it yet, John.
All right.
Save this one.
Consider it safe.
You have anything to say?
No.
Besides good morning and how are you?
No, I do not.
Have you noticed, by the way, for weeks?
Well, I've probably noticed.
All right. Well, let's see if Ashlyn did. For weeks, sunny South Florida that she is from. All I've been able to say is what a beautiful day.
Right.
What a beautiful day out there as we come in and show the shot of the stadium or the Hart Bridge. Not so beautiful today.
No, not quite.
It's been
quite
a long time since we've had rain.
True. And I've got to mow my lawn. So at some point, I've got to get that done this week.
The agony.
Sucks not having a kid living in the house anymore. Is that it?
Well, he's home. What sucks is having a kid who doesn't mow the lawn.
Fix it where you can. Yeah. Right. Have you asked Ashlyn? She's not that much older than your child.
I had Marcel Darius on Ozone Live.
He offered,
fall,
yeah.
And he mentioned being a lawn guy, and so far he hadn't been over.
Yeah.
So,
well, you call him and then let me know.
It's one thing to talk. It's another thing to walk it, I guess.
Right, and I won't come mow your lawn.
Okay, it's fine.
But you can ask.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably fend for myself like I always.
All right, time for big things. Let's get the show rolling. What you got for us, Ashlyn?
All right, big thing one is rookie impressions. We got a firsthand look at them last week, more so off the field than on the field, but we saw how they reacted in an NFL atmosphere. Let's start with first-round pick Taven Bryan. We've realized he's a man of few words, to say the least.
Oh, to say the least.
Yeah.
Max, show us just how few words Taven Bryan used to describe his first appearance at a Jags camp.
It's really exciting. You know, it'd be really cool to play in a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, I never thought of ever doing that, so that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, really, who cares if he can play? And we didn't get a chance to go out on the field and watch these guys, but my first impression from him is, a lot bigger, especially up top. I mean, the guy is just, he's a horse. And I say that in a very kind and
nice way.
I mean, well, he is just... He's huge. He's got an enormous chest and broad shoulders. You look at the guy and you think, yeah, that is a defensive tackle.
Yeah, I've been described that way, but they always add something else on the end.
Yeah.
But it's
in fact, we were talking about that earlier.
In watching him from the video that our Jaguars.com staff put together of some of the drills in practice, incredibly athletic. I like the way he approaches the media and talk. He doesn't say much. I get the idea as he gets older, he'll be fine. He seems to have a personality bubbling underneath. He seems, I think, to have the right approach here early, meaning I'm not going to say very much. I'm not ready to say a whole lot yet. It does strike me, you wind up having to play amateur psychologist a little bit when you listen to these guys. People are asking, well, what did you think? I think he's confident. I think he knows athletically he can be here. I think he also knows there's a lot of work to do. So most rookies act like they've got a long way to go, which is good because they do. That's the way he seems to act. The more you're around him, though, it's hard for me to imagine this kid not being pretty good over the course of time.
You know, a couple of veteran players, Leonard Fournette, obviously because he knows DJ Chark, Calais Campbell. I mean, these they wandered out there during rookie minicamp at some point or another. You talked to Calais about the young guy, even though he hasn't had a chance to play with him yet. What do you have to say?
He didn't say much, but he did say he knows he's going to help us win. And I was talking to Taven during rookie mini camp during our interviews, and he was saying what an honor it is to get to go and practice with these type of guys. I mean, his first week, he's going to go practice with Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson. That's pretty cool. And he was saying how excited he was that he's going to get so much better so quickly just from being with them.
Yeah. I know TA's next week. So
yeah.
One other observation, at least from my perspective, because Taven and DJ Chark were the two guys that came into the media. DJ Chark looks like a first-round pick wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know he's 6'3", 6'3" and a half, but when you look at the shoulders, when you look at how long his arms are, big hands too, really a polished young man also. I mean, almost a 4.0 student in high school and a guy who, even though people said he wasn't a finished product as a receiver, he sure looks like a finished product.
Well, yeah, I think I mentioned last week, I talked to Jerry Sullivan, former Jaguars receivers coach who worked with the LSU offense last year. He likes the kid a lot, and one thing I don't think I mentioned last week, Jerry pointed out at the end of our conversation, this is a guy who's 6'3", who returned punts. That's pretty rare. That's a rare to have a guy that tall. He can move. He said when he gets out, you're not going to catch him. So there's some special stuff there going on. I think the interesting thing about those three veterans being here is they were actually here because it seemed like the rest of the office was at the players Thursday and Friday. So, I mean, that's notable.
That is notable. Off on the right foot.
What's notable also is that our team put together a video about the rookies that Ashland did the interviews with. It kind of had a Brady Bunch theme to it, if you didn't notice. Does she know what the Brady Bunch is?
I learned, yes.
See, Ashland, the Brady Bunch is a show where at the beginning of the show, there were nine
Max
people
throw it
on
up.
The air.
Put it up there on the set so people can see it. You want to go find this. This was so well put together. The visual of it is fantastic. It's on social. It's up on Jaguars.com. But Ashlyn did these interviews, and you had the chance to obviously interact with some of these guys at a different level. What's notable from your time with the rookies?
The guy I'm rooting for most has to be offensive lineman Will Richardson out of NC State. He just
because he held the selfie stick for you while you were walking?
That was very nice of him.
Very gentlemanly of him.
And during our interviews, he just was so grateful to be here. And I know he had some off-the-field issues, but you could tell that is so far behind him. And he's just here to work. And you could tell how excited he was to be on this field and just grateful to be part of any team, but especially this team.
Who else?
Who else? The punter Logan Cook stood out country as ever, man, right out of Mississippi State. He said, we did a Mother's Day special. You can also see it on Jaguars.com and Twitter. He said the favorite thing about his mom is her chocolate pudding. Everyone else had this really emotional thing to their mom, and he goes, Mom, I just love your chocolate pudding. That's it.
That's fair.
That's pretty deep.
My favorite Brady Bunch episode, by the way, was when Bobby put too much laundry detergent in the washing machine. I'm sure you remember that one.
That's
as well as the one when Jan faked having a boyfriend.
Yes.
I like the one where they went to Hawaii.
That was good.
And they had the bad luck because they found the little totem.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Max, I think we have a couple of bites from there.
We do. We have Will Richardson. I talked about how grateful he is. We have a bite of him saying how excited he is to be a Jaguar.
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, you dream of it all your life. Just being able to say that I made it to the next level, being that 1%, but in the back of your mind, just knowing that it's just the start, and it's just the beginning of a bright future, and you just know that you just worked all your life for it, so now it's your time to just step in and do what you're asked to do.
So another thing that stood out about Will Richardson, after this interview, he comes up to Max and he goes, man, I love doing interviews. I love sitting down and talking with you guys.
Well,
I had never heard
I hope
that.
He keeps that attitude because he might be the only offensive lineman that says
right?
that.
Mm-hmm. So much personality, so happy just to talk about football. I had never heard that before.
Yeah, we
just
talked
like
last
the rest
year.
Of the offense.
We need
fit right in.
On a team that runs the ball as much as this one wants to, we need an offensive lineman that will stand and talk.
And he'll be it, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully he plays so we can actually go and talk to him.
Right.
He struck me as a guy that I wanted to get a look at. He's big. I mean, he seems bigger than the 6'5", 300, or 6'6", 320. It fits different guys differently. He's a massive.
He's a massive
guy. Also, if you go back and remember that on draft weekend, we had the war room phone calls, and his was emotional. Because remember, he slid down the board for some off-the-field things, and he was elated when he got the phone call. And so you saw that smile on his face the whole time he was here.
Yeah, he told me when he got the phone call, he dropped his phone and the screen protector cracked, but not the phone.
Good.
So he was all upset that his phone cracked, but obviously worth it.
Now he can afford a new phone now.
Yeah, he probably
can. He doesn't need to. It was just a screen protector.
The other one that I saw that I enjoyed was the punter, not the chocolate pudding comment.
See, I love that.
The fact that he just said, I'm just a punter. You like that humility.
Yes.
Not everyone has that approach. Punters are important, too.
Punters are people, too. Can't forget it.
That was a T-shirt, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, but just that he comes in as a rookie and says, I'm a punter, but I'm excited to be here, too.
Yeah, so we knew how important special teams was during free agency and also the draft now. So Logan Cook himself said that he is definitely going to be an asset to this team.
I'm here to help in any way I can. You know, I know I'm just a punter, but, I'm here to flip field position and hopefully make your game days more enjoyable.
So we know, guys, how important free agency was and for special teams. But now the draft, they addressed that as well. So do you think that's something going forward they're really going to work on?
Oh, special teams, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you want me to get Joe D for you?
Yeah, I would love to have him.
Better get the seven-second delay ready.
It almost strikes you that Logan Cook, Brian, was almost a fifth free agent in this area because they released Nortman immediately.
Yep.
So this is a guy that even though he's a rookie is being signed to play and contribute right away. So from a philosophical point of view, this guy is the same sort of immediate addition as Cody Davis, as Don Carey, as Niles Paul. So they really worked on this area, which you can speak to probably better than me.
Well, I'd love to say that I went and watched the tape. But in talking to Joe last week, just a little bit of a preview here, a little bit of broadcast business. Next week, we will have an extended story on the kickoff rule changes that have been proposed. The owners' meetings are next week in Atlanta, and we sat with Joe D last week to talk a little bit about them. And in talking to Joe, he mentioned a game. I think it was against BYU and Mississippi State. He had five or six punts that were net of 50 yards or more that really swung the game. And he's that kind of impact player. And you just have to go back to the AFC title game with that really important, crucial punt in the fourth quarter that wasn't very good.
Well, and that was really the knock on Brad Nortman as much as anything, not necessarily just that game, but at times with a punter in this league right now, yes, it's great to have a great net. It's great to have consistency. But at key moments, especially the way this team plays, there are times a punter can really save you, can create 15, 20 yards of field position. On that play, it did the opposite.
And with a defense like this one,
field
position is epic.
In fact, you've got to trust your punter. If you're going to play this style, the third leg is special teams.
All right, so here's something Jody did say, and it pertained, in our conversation, it was about kickoffs. But he said, look, the game is decided by points, but you create points with field position.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about why save the kickoff. Why not just go put the ball at the 20-yard line and do away with the play that most people perceive to be the most dangerous play in the game? He said, look. He said, hey, it's been a part of the game, but it's field position. And field position is strategy. And when you play defense, like this team plays defense, it's a huge part of the strategy, which is why they went looking for a punter that they believe would play right into it.
Yeah, and I don't think, by the way, looking ahead to that rule, we'll talk about it more next week, I'm sure. I don't think the league will come up with the answer being, let's just put the kickoff at a certain spot, especially if had that spot be the 20.
It will not.
Because the league wants scoring, and you want to be able to have comebacks. So often a comeback is started with a long kickoff return. I do believe they're going to have to find a solution that's not kickoffs. I think that's going away, but I don't think that will be the answer.
And the Players Association on this one also doesn't want to see jobs go away, because if you take away special teams to a degree, you take away jobs. The owners will say, we don't need this many players on the rosters. We're getting into the weeds on this one,
but
suffice to say, it is about field position, which means it is about special teams, and they are focusing on those things. That's all we can say about the rookies for now, because that's all we can show you, because that's all we saw. Hopefully those insights give you a little sense of what this rookie class is about. Don't forget our Twitter poll. You can find it right there. What position has the most questions as OTAs begin next week? Answer it. We'll have the results later on in the show. We'll take this break and return. More big things, Ozone Snapshot, and even more after this.
Nonprofit organizations. You can be a part of all the action on Jaguars game days and raise money for your organization at the same time. Join Delaware North on May 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. for their behind-the-counter event at Everbank Field. You'll learn how you can volunteer to work concession stands on game days while enjoying food, drinks, special guests, and giveaways from the Jacksonville Jaguars. For more details and to RSVP by May 17th, visit jaguars.com/Delaware North Fundraising.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka. In the mid-90s, I bought a piece of land in Austin with a credit card check and built the very first micro distillery in the history of the state of Texas. I'd never built a still before, so I did some research and designed and built my own pot stills based on Prohibition-era bust photos I found in the library. I didn't know then that this was kind of the start of the American craft distilling movement right here in Austin, Texas. Cheers. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. Tito'sVodka.com.
To put people on the field that win football games, period. So my thing with the players is I really don't necessarily care how you've been acquired, whether you're a tryout, whether you're a free agent, you know, or a draft pick. That's over. That stuff doesn't mean diddly do.
That was Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone after the first rookie minicamp practice on Friday. Said that this is a fresh slate for rookies. No matter how you got here, you're here. Brought up Keelan Cole a bunch of times out of Kentucky. Wesley said, if he can make it, anyone can make it. It's a fresh slate for everyone.
Yeah, and as much as I think every time there's a rookie minicamp around here with Doug Marrone as the coach, I think you're going to get essentially the same story, the same message. But there is an element with this bunch that every team talks about wanting rookie free agents. Every team talks about treating the process fairly and taking draft status out of the equation. But some teams actually do it and some teams don't. I think this is key to Doug's whole philosophy of making training camp competitive, of making people earn it. The reason I emphasize it in the story is because I do believe that it's very important to what Doug is and what this team's trying to become, the message that he sent many, many times on Friday.
Well, and I mean, Keelan Cole was the leading receiver last year, and he made some of the biggest plays. The touchdown against Seattle after the Seahawks had tied the game at 10 there in the third quarter is probably his signature play from last year. But the big 49-yard catch that set up a big touchdown in the fourth quarter of the bowl game in Pittsburgh.
Yep, that counted too.
You know, I mean, he made a bunch of those. So it made sense that he would say it. But, you know, they backed up Doug's comments over the weekend when they signed an offensive lineman, a tight end, and a linebacker to compete primarily on special teams. But, you know, those are the three guys that we'll watch as the tryout players and see if they can't find some way to earn a job in training camp.
Yeah, and I still believe the whole pre-draft thing around this team with people saying, oh, no rookies are going to make an impact. It's going to be a five or six rookies make the team. I just don't believe that. I think in the with this team's salary cap,
that's it.
Situation.
Yeah. That is it.
And good teams make an effort to go overboard to try to stay young. I just think there's 8, 9, 10 spots on this team for rookies. I think two rookie free agents could easily make this team.
Well, all people have to look at, you know, two of the top seven highest paid players on this team are Andrew Norwell, right? I didn't call him Scott Norwood. Andrew Norwell and AJ Boye, who were both undrafted by their teams, Carolina and Houston.
Right. Barry Church was also undrafted.
Yeah, exactly. Same, well, Deshaun Gibson, right? Yep. So I guess you're talking about four or five of the top.
But you got the best secondary in the league, arguably, and three of them are undrafted.
Undrafted, right. Which means that if you want to stay competitive and stay ahead with a salary cap that now has a highly paid quarterback, in addition to some highly paid defensive linemen and young talent that needs to get paid, we all know Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, and Miles Jack, then it isn't just nice that you find a couple. It's imperative that you draft, that you sign, and you develop. Mm-hmm. The coaching staff, it's so important for these reasons. Guys like Marion Hobby and Pat Flaherty, all of these guys are critical for this team's salary cap because they've got to develop these guys.
Absolutely.
So, I agree.
All right. Big thing three.
Big thing three. Do you want to do Twitter poll results as well?
By the way, the Twitter poll, about five minutes ago, you've got your computer up.
Right.
Don't tell on
us. Reaching across me. Ashlyn's got to fix it. You look like my mom when she's trying to get me to fix her Facebook account. It was an unbelievable.
I couldn't find it.
All right, well,
I couldn't find it.
My password doesn't work.
No, my password worked. Right. I'm logged on. I've got it right now. I was clicking on the video.
It was just like that.
Not quite like that. I didn't squeak like his mom. I clicked on the video, and the video came up, and I'm looking for the whatever.
You're going to be calling me.
Like John, help me with my Snapchat. What's this emoji thing? Yeah, whatever. Just wait till you stumble, pal.
Oh, I'll stumble.
Oh, gosh.
And
all right.
Point it out.
So as of now, in the middle of this show, which position group has the most questions as OTAs begin? Over half the votes, 51%, are tight ends.
Well, that's what happens when an 11-year veteran like Mercedes Lewis isn't here.
Yep.
You know, I'm getting ready to do a story with Kyle Brady, right, who many think was the best blocking tight end of his era, one of the best of any era. So you had he came in 1999 as a free agent. And then Mercedes and he were together in 06, and then Mercedes took over. So you had Kyle Brady and Mercedes Lewis here for 19 seasons. Two big, strong, tall, strapping, solid receivers, incredible blockers, and now you don't. I think it makes sense. People are realizing, oh, Mercedes isn't here. Click. Now, that doesn't necessarily say anything about Austin Seferian Jenkins, except that we don't know.
Yeah. First thing that came to mind with me when I voted was – everyone was saying how tight end was going to be such a priority in the draft, and it wasn't. During free agency, it was addressed. So I think a lot of people are saying, oh, if they didn't get a tight end, that's the biggest need.
Well, I think that's the perception.
Yeah, talking to guys, rookie tight ends don't make that. The research that teams the research this team did told them that rookie tight ends were not going to be as productive for a team. That is, Dave Caldwell told you in Indy, they're going to try and close the gap and get this done.
And they targeted Seferian Jenkins to do specific things they didn't believe Mercedes Lewis could do. And this is one of those positions where it makes sense to them, and I haven't talked to anybody specific, but their actions show this. James O'Shaughnessy, third-year guy.
Yeah, ben really Poyak, athletic guy.
Third-year guy. I forget where James was drafted. I think fifth round.
Yeah.
Koyak, seventh round. To them, better to have third-year guys who are seventh and sixth-round picks than a rookie who's a fifth-round pick.
And then
those guys are usually better at that point.
Sorry, you got a guy in between there, Niles Paul, who was pretty productive for Washington. Not all-pro or even Pro Bowl, but productive. So they're figuring that works better for them right now. Okay.
All right. Big thing three?
Yes.
Now that I rudely interrupted?
No.
Here we go.
Wasn't rude.
Defending the South. We looked at the Houston Texans last week at first. Second week breaking down the division. Now we have the Tennessee Titans, guys. They took Rashad Evans, an inside linebacker, first round, 22 out of Alabama.
Yeah, and Harold Landry in the second round, who many thought was, you know, maybe that tweener, edge rusher extraordinaire, the kid from Boston College. In their first year with a brand new coach, a defensive-minded coach, they went defensive heavy. Did you think that was their most glaring weakness last year when you saw them?
Well, I think they're a curious team. No, I didn't think it was the most glaring weakness. I think their concern is what is Marcus Mariota.
Right.
Now, you couldn't address him in the draft because he's their guy. But I've said it before, if Blake Bortles had the year that Marcus Mariota had, they'd have thrown over the fence. Out here, and it had been the fans doing it because he struggled last year, and yet nobody really seems to
jump on him,
believe that he struggled, but that's fine. It's an interesting team because there's sort of a perception out there that they're ready to go, that they're close, that they're very, very good. But they changed mid-course. And sometimes when it looks a little curious from the outside, which I thought was a curious move, it works. Just like everybody thought the Jaguars situation last year was curious, but they had a belief in what they were doing. They went with Marone and Coughlin, and they believed in it, and they stuck with their structure, and it went and worked. Mike Vrabel is a very young head coach, very unproven. I don't know how it'll work, but I don't think it is a given that what they're doing will work. And I think it's as interesting a team as there is in the division right now, because I think the Colts are going to struggle. I think the Jaguars, you sort of know what they are. You have an idea what the Texans are. I don't know what the Titans want to be right now.
Well, so the Titans were the team in the division to beat this one.
Sure. Yeah.
The only team to beat them, and they swept them, no less. So the interesting part about that is they seem to match up well with this team, mm-hmm. the way that they played. And Marcus Mariota wasn't sensational, but in the game here, he was very effective in the second half. Right, he made a couple of nice throws down the sideline.
There's some similarities there.
Yeah, I can see that. Get the job done. And they have Corey Davis, the big first-round pick from Western Michigan a year ago, who played well at the end of the year last year. So they've got some things going for them. The key, obviously, is their running game and how different it's going to be. Derrick Henry's the guy now,
right.
And they went and got the speedster from whose name escapes me, from New England. You know the you know who I'm talking about.
Name escapes me too. Yeah. This is good radio.
Yeah, but you know they got stronger in the secondary and on defense. I just don't know what they are.
Right.
I do know they were the team that beat this team twice last year.
And again, to me, this feels like a national story. Sort of like the Jaguars were going into last year. This team could be very, very good, the Titans, but they're very much an unknown going in. And I think it's the most intriguing story in the division in terms of trying to figure out what this team is.
All right. Time for a break. When we return, Ozone Snapshot, the results of our poll, and more here on Jags Drive Time.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller at Tito's Handmade Vodka. In the mid-90s, I bought a piece of land in Austin with a credit card check and built the very first micro distillery in the history of the state of Texas. I'd never built a still before, so I did some research and designed and built my own pot stills based on Prohibition-era bust photos I found in the library. I didn't know then that this was kind of the start of the American craft distilling movement right here in Austin, Texas. Cheers. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas. Tito'sVodka.com.
Calling all nonprofit organizations. You can be a part of all the action on Jaguars game days and raise money for your organization at the same time. Join Delaware North on May 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. for their behind-the-counter event at Everbank Field. You'll learn how you can volunteer to work concession stands on game days while enjoying food, drink, special guests, and giveaways from the Jacksonville Jaguars. For more details and to RSVP by May 17th, visit jaguars.com/Delaware North Fundraising.
Welcome back to Jags Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Just to show you how you get out of football mode in the offseason, the hard Deion Lewis, right. Who we saw in the AFC Championship game. It's going to be an interesting 1-2.
As an aside, yeah. During the break, I just watched Ashlyn seamlessly go from Facebook to Twitter. So if you need any tips,
it was
later,
swift, man.
About how to get like from one social media account to the other, right here.
That's your girl.
Yeah, I'm going right around you.
Right.
No doubt. Poll results, you got something for us?
I do. It dropped a little bit. 521 votes, by the way,
pretty
leading
good.
49% now tight ends. Less than half, but not by much.
We'll follow it all day and wrap it up next week and give you the final results. You can, by the way, vote until about 8:30 tomorrow morning, 24 hours on our poll.
Wow, would you okay. Look at that.
Look at that.
All
I
right.
Because I found it, thanks to John.
I think it was a group effort, personally.
It was a group effort.
Yeah.
Next week it will not be.
We're the best three friends that anyone can be.
Here we go.
All right. Ozone Snapchat. Don from Ponte Vedra Beach. Can you believe how fast this area has grown? You knew it was coming, but not this fast. Do you think this city is ready for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I get asked this a lot, Brian. And
No.
No, and when you say that, it's not a knock on what the city can become, but it's a reality. And Ashad Khan has said this several times. It's what you expect from a Super Bowl city in terms of downtown immediate infrastructure. And I don't think the city needs to aspire to that. I think aspiring to the draft, aspiring to what the shipyards or the Lot J surrounding area seems to be becoming, that's the goal. That's what this city needs. That's the right fit for this city.
I said it last week. Spending time in Dallas, around AT&T Stadium, and just around the Arlington area alone. Not Irving, you know, not Grapevine, not Plano, not Dallas. All these are great big places. But in Arlington alone, where you have the hotels and the restaurants and the places for people to go, and it's just so much more ready to host an event the magnitude of a Super Bowl. They did it in 2005 here. They pulled it off, much to the chagrin of critics. But it is not – you couldn't bring the same plan to the table with cruise ships – and tent right. cities like they did in 2005, you couldn't do it. The game has grown exponentially beyond that, and Jacksonville just does not have the ability to house, feed, move, entertain people like a city like Dallas, Tampa, Los Angeles, Las Vegas.
And I guess the point is that's okay.
Yeah.
That's not what Jacksonville is.
The prototypes that you're seeing for what this is going to be are really cool, and the ability to host things on this level fits what this city is and wants it to be. I don't think people who live here want to necessarily be a grand scale epic event.
No, I think that's why people live here. They like
right.
that fact.
The so small town vibe. This yeah.
Hey, I can just read
is Charlotte. Right way.
Charlotte, which many people see as a more cosmopolitan Jacksonville because of their banking ties. Charlotte is not a Super Bowl city.
Right.
Nashville, Tennessee, a town people love. I wholeheartedly think that if Nashville is a city that hosts the draft next year, I'm excited about
sure.
that.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, long time. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, these are not Super Bowl cities. Jacksonville just doesn't happen to be one of those. And by the way, when you think about the stadiums that are coming online, first of all, I mean, folks, make a visit to AT&T Stadium and it'll answer itself, right? You walk through the clubs, it's like walking through the Cosmo in Vegas. But think about the stadium that's coming online in Las Vegas.
Right.
And the $5 billion campus. It's just not a state. It's more than just a stadium. In Los Angeles, and you realize it's we're not going to be one of those cities. It's absolutely fine. But the Jaguars, in talking to Larry Wilson and Mayor Curry when we were in Dallas, they're going to make a concerted effort to put a big-time pitch together to get the draft here in a couple of years. And I think that's absolutely what Jacksonville should do, but not a Super Bowl city.
Fair enough. All right, let's do Damien from outer space. That's nice of him to listen from that far away. I feel like even if the Jags win a Super Bowl, everyone would still treat Bortles like Trent Dilfer. What does this guy have to do to silence the doubters?
Well, you know what, Brian? I don't think he will. And
who cares?
He's okay with that.
That's the thing. I don't – and I answered a question to this effect, maybe this question in the Ozone a couple days ago. Here's the thing to remember about all the critics. You're going to have off-season conversations, and they're going to spiral out of control. And it's going to be, I hate this guy for this. I love this kid for this. The remarkable thing about Blake is that I've been around quarterbacks where when that conversation is going on, it can destroy them. This kid doesn't – truly, it does not affect him. So I guess the answer to all this is it doesn't matter if he gets credit. With some guys, maybe it does. Maybe they need the praise, maybe whatever. Blake's his own guy. He's going to function whatever the buzz, whatever – every athlete, every coach you're around says, oh, I don't read the paper.
Yeah, they do.
Right. I think maybe Blake reads it, but I truly think he doesn't care. I truly think it doesn't affect him. So I guess I don't worry about this conversation as much as I would if it was around another player.
I was about your age when a wise man said to me, Brian, people who don't care have the greatest advantage in life. I was like, what? What's the advantage? They don't care.
Yep.
Right? Blake Bortles truly does not care what you and I say here, what anyone writes, what's up on Twitter. He doesn't care. Now, I would callously say, yeah, I would count my money. What do I care? How many million did I make?
Yeah.
What do I worry about what you think or what someone in the media
thinks? I don't think that's why he doesn't care.
No.
I mean, this kid's wired different.
No, he is totally wired differently, and that's a great advantage for him. He is not going to worry about it. If he wins two Super Bowls, he probably still wouldn't get the credit. But you know what? He'll say, I've got two rings and millions of dollars. What am I going to worry about again? Moving on.
Yep.
Great advantage in life.
Absolutely. All right, let's do Jason from St. Augustine. Jag should grab AP. Imagine him spelling Fournette and teaching him and the other backs. Both are injury prone, but at the right price, it could work. He may provide some leadership, which suddenly has some notable gaps.
I don't think Leonard Fournette is injury prone.
No.
I know he had the ankle his last year at LSU, and he had a couple games last year. I think we should clarify. He plays running back, which has a shortened shelf life anyway.
Big time.
And he plays in the most physical and aggressive style that Deion Lewis does not play the same style. Deion Lewis, the Titans' new running back, got the name right, will last longer than Leonard Fournette because he doesn't take the abuse. So let's clarify that. I'll say this on AP. I watched him when we were in Phoenix, and I think he had like 65 yards. If you could get 65 yards out of him, that'd be great. He played for $3.5 million between the Saints and the Cardinals last year. He'd have to play for less. You could probably go for $3.5 million in that number. Last year, your backup made $6 million, which was the outlier, right? You're not going to have that one again. You know, maybe. But it's a young man's game. It's a game of replacement. Running back is a very shortened shelf life. I'd be surprised if they brought him in.
Yeah. It's fine if they do it.
It would have to be uber cheap, and I don't know.
Is he going
to
take that money?
And it's not going to be – if they do it, it's fine. But it's not any more fine than getting a young player there. I don't think he's the difference-making guy. It's not going to be an impact move if it's made.
Smart money is on finding somebody, that style of running back, that gets cut loose, you know, sometime in August,
right,
as opposed to going and signing Adrian Peterson.
And to address the leadership, I think, yes, he'd be a great leader, but you have so many leaders on this team.
Here.
And Leonard, I think, handles himself well
right, this
enough.
This team's growing its own leaders. Yeah, fine on that.
Absolutely
front.
It is. And that can be overblown.
Yeah.
And you're right. Leonard is the personality in that room, and he doesn't need Adrian Peterson. In fact,
no. I don't even think that would go well.
I don't think he needs it. I don't think he wants it.
Yeah.
I think Leonard Fournette is not he stood next to Calais Campbell so many times because their lockers were next to, and he didn't need Calais to tell him how to talk to the media or what to say. Leonard Fournette has been doing this an awful long time. Remember, he's been on a big stage since he was in high school at St. Augustine in New Orleans. This is nothing that he can't handle.
Yeah, to clarify it, I don't think it would bother Fournette if somebody came
in.
Oh,
not at all. But he doesn't need him to lead him.
But he doesn't need him to lead. Right.
No. You said it best. This team has its own leaders. They've grown.
Yeah, and they're getting more and more. And yeah, they're fine on leadership. Trust me.
For sure. All right.
Is
that it?
We have one Facebook comment. I think it's a good one. What rookie will see the most playing time this season?
You throw the punter out because punters aren't starters; they're punters.
You say Ronnie Harrison because you know he's going to be a special teams guy.
Yeah, I mean, and if it's special teams, then Chark could see it. It's hard to throw special teams in there because a lot of these guys are going to do that. I would think a toss up between Brian and Chark as role guys. Let me go with Chark. Because you maybe throw special teams.
I'm going to go with Harrison for the reason, and I think I talked about this last week. You have two veteran safeties, two older guys, and I would get, and again, last year, Telvin Smith was the only defender to miss any games. He missed two, right, of the entire 19-game schedule. That's not going to hold up. My guess is that you would see Ronnie Harrison on the field just because Gibson and Barry Church might miss a game here or there.
All right, I agree with you, especially with special teams going on.
You have anything else to say?
I'm good.
Are you sure? I'm good. You notice that? Yeah, I said it. It's
I
that
said
subtle bit.
To know I've said
I'm
too
good.
Much.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
I got to listen. I'll save it.
All right, good. Anything else coming up from you this week?
Yes, I will be talking to Jerry Sullivan about DJ Chark, and at some point this week talking to Taven Bryan's position coach in college as well. So. Gearing up for OTAs next week.
You're going to Calais' bowling event this evening?
I am.
Where's
big
that
hyped
at?
Up event. Not sure where it is. I know it's downtown somewhere, but I'm excited to see all the players that'll be there. Half the team is supposed to be there.
And
basically.
You'll have a story on that
I will,
tomorrow at some point?
On Jaguars.com.
And next week, a really big show. Obviously, the owners' meetings are getting underway in Atlanta. We will have exclusive commentary from Jody Camillus, the Jags special teams coordinator, with a story on the proposed rules, how they'll impact the game. And that's going to be a big story next week if it is approved. So we'll have that. Plus, we'll take a look at the Colts in the division. Thanks for joining us today on Jags Drive Time across social media channels and on TuneIn Radio. Have a great day and great rest of your week.